Okay, so if I've pressed all the buttons right, on the phone we should have Pam Oliver.
Good morning, Greg.
Yay, it's working. Pam, thank you so much for your time on Saturday morning. Pam, of course, is one of the key driving forces behind Project Forever Waiheke. And I wanted to talk to Pam this morning because I haven't caught up recently with where the project's at. And, of course, it's a fascinating project, a community-led initiative, and I call it a broad-based community-led initiative committed to developing sustainable community and tourism strategies for Waiheke Island. So, Pam, thanks again for your time. Where exactly is Project Forever Waiheke at the moment?
Well, there's quite a few answers to that question. Thanks for inviting us on, Greg. It's really lovely of you. We're keen to get information out to the community, so this is a great opportunity.
It seemed to me that just at this particular weekend when thousands of people are pouring over to the island, that it was a great moment to discuss this. So, yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we've just started up over the last week, in fact, is doing some monitoring of traffic volumes on the island. So we're really keen to get really solid data information on exactly what changes in terms of traffic volumes between, you know, our, if you like, normal traffic on the island when we don't have a lot of visitors and traffic when we do. Mm. Ideally, of course, it would be lovely to get those data, that information from the two ferry companies, but unfortunately they consider that information to be commercially sensitive. So what we decided to do as a project was just go out and start counting vehicles coming off the ferries,
yep.
Start counting people getting onto the double-decker buses, start counting the traffic going through Belgium Street outside the supermarket, because, of course, that is our best litmus test, if you like, of...
Pretty much everything goes past the supermarket, doesn't it? I mean,
some
will go up Austin Road, but not a lot.
So that's one of the things that we're doing, and we're running that monitoring over... So we started, actually, not this week, and we will have baseline data for kind of, you know, pre-Christmas rush. Then we're taking it right through until the end of February, so we'll have data for the whole of the school holidays to see what the impact on volume is there, and then right through to February when hopefully it gets back to what we sort of consider to be normal on the island. So that's
quite an interesting point just there, isn't it? What's normal on the island anymore? I mean, people I know in the tourism industry say there isn't that much of a lull in winter. I mean, obviously Christmas is the peak and you're trying to get some baseline data, and I think that's fantastic. But do we really have a quiet period anymore?
Well, we have relatively quiet periods. So, yeah. I mean, we know that the school holidays have always been the time when the island fills up, and particularly right over the summer. We know that that's extended now, the information that we get back from ATED and so forth. But one of the things that we're keen to see is what the impact is on commuters. And we know, for example, that over the last couple of weeks, and particularly the last week, there have been a number of late sailings from both from this end and from the other end.
Yeah.
I know from personal experience that I turned up for a sailing in Auckland that actually never eventuated. And so we're keen to get information on that as well. Yeah. One thing I'd just like to say is that we're very keen to have people help us with the monitoring, because...
I was going to ask, are you looking for volunteers?
Well, we are looking for volunteers, but we also have a little bit of money to pay for some of this. So at the moment, I'm looking for somebody who might be available in February to do some monitoring work. So if anybody's keen on that, then they're welcome to give me a call on 7749. That's my Waiheke landline.
7749. But also, you can get Pam by email, which you can find on the Project Forever Waiheke website. And I just wanted to congratulate you on a really great website, because when I had a look at it this morning, I actually did learn quite quickly where you guys are at. And that website seems to be, it's just full of really rich linkage to other great resources as well.
Can I just make a little plug for the website?
Yeah,
so
please do.
For those of you out there listening, It's really easy to find. It's just foreveryhiki.com.
Yep.
And one of the things that we've developed on that is a really fabulous news page which keeps people on the island up to date with a whole lot of things that are happening on the island in the way of projects, yep, initiatives, yep, programs, and just stuff that's happening to the community, yep, and in relation to tourism and sustainability generally.
Indeed.
So it's very readable, and just a big thanks to Zan Hamilton and Lindy Robinson, who are responsible for that website.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's available on the website now is a really fantastic resource library.
Mm.
So we've got an information library up there on just articles, reports, news generally in relation to Waiheke, sustainability, tourism. And we've also, I've just forgotten what I was going to say. Oh, we've also managed to get some slides. Big thanks to Kath Handley on the local board for this.
Yep.
We've managed to get some slides up onto both the Sea Link and the Fuller's Ferries,
yep,
which tell visitors coming to the island about our community.
Yep, I've seen them.
And about sustainability.
I've seen them, and it did make me wonder, why didn't we do that 20 years ago? I mean, we have often had information on the ferry TVs, but this was striking and very, very helpful, I thought. You've also done, pushed out into the visitor accommodation industry with information about water sustainability.
We have. We figured that one of the most useful things that we could do was just make some signs for people that they could download from our website, and there's a whole wide range of them. So, you know, people can choose water conservation signs that are a little more serious or a little more humorous, and they come in a range of sizes, or people can actually download a Word version and change it to suit themselves. So we know, for example, from the research that we did earlier this year with the Waiheke community, that up to a quarter of residents on Waiheke rent out part or all of their home over the summer holidays. And that's a lot of people. And if everybody just took a few minutes to download, print out one or two of these signs to put up in their laundry, in their bathroom, anywhere that, you know, water is likely to be used, then that could make a really big difference.
I'm on that website now, and the download is completely simple. And I, you know, and I guess we do have people on the island who, you know, from the great lodges of Church Bay and the, you know, the hills, right down to the bed and breakfast and Airbnb people who have got to sleep out for rent, right? So all these signs and information is suitable for that complete range of accommodation. And imagine what we could save collectively if everybody did download it and put it up for their visitors, because we can say the right thing, but when there's a sign on the wall in the place you've just rented, you do tend to take more notice, don't you?
You do. Look, the other thing that I just wanted to say very quickly, Greg, is I wanted to say a really big thanks to the local board for all of the support that they've given to the project, because we've started a number of initiatives, and they've been right behind all of them and really barracked for us, for example, with Fuller's, with Auckland Transport, in helping us to get some of these initiatives to go live. But I also wanted to give a thanks to Fuller's. We know that it's stressful for them as well, and one of the things we plugged for at the very beginning was the locals lanes, and that the locals lanes should not just be parallel boarding but priority boarding, and we're very grateful to them that they've acknowledged that and started to board locals first.
They have and there was a sort of a moment of parallel boarding where we all sort of shook our head and wondered what it was all about then, and then they must have got your message, because now it's priority boarding. And I have to say that as a local trying to get back to the island, it just makes such a difference. It also I think it kind of, I don't know, it raises consciousness among the visitors that they're coming somewhere where there are people who live and work, and that they do have some sort of responsibility to the community they're visiting as well as to their own holiday.
That's exactly right. It's a really obvious acknowledgement that there are people who need to get home. They kind of get it. So that's a bit of education. Mm. Hey, the other thing that we're doing at this point is, people might remember that earlier this year we did a survey and some workshops, and out of that we wrote up a community consultation report on impacts of tourism and development. And we also put out a draft sustainable community and tourism strategy for input. We got some great input into that, a whole wide range. I've since met with Kath Handley, Darlene Tanner, who's and Gabrielle Young, who are representing the Waiheke Island Tourism Forum. And we're now just about to write up a kind of final version, which will also go out for community input of that sustainable community and tourism strategy. So we're hoping to get that out in February for people to have input into. So I just want to, you know, big thanks to the community.
Look, that's fantastic. Without the local board behind this, without ATEED, without, as I said before, that broad-based approach, it feels to me like we've, you know, we've all got together at last on this, and that there's a real chance of making a huge difference to the sustainability of the island in the future. I mean, you know, it's never going to be an island that people don't want to visit, is it? So we really have to manage this. And I'd also like to acknowledge Ngāti Pāua and the Mana Whenua who have got on board as well. You know, this. If you want to know more about the community consultation report, it's on that website. Links to all sorts of stuff. Incredible information about another advocacy group, Electric Island, which wants to increase the number of e-vehicles on the island. Just the number of stories, media releases and stuff on the website is wonderful. So if you really want to catch up on not just what the project's doing, but start your own thinking around sustainability, then I would recommend you go to the foreverwaiheke.com website.
Thanks, Greg. That's a really good plug. And you know something, we are still absolutely keen to get ideas from people.
Well, indeed, there's a link there that says send us your ideas. So, you know, if you, like me, have been grinding your teeth over the direction of tourism on the island for some years, well, here's our chance to make a difference.
And in fact, dare I say, Greg, that it was your partner, Fleur, who suggested the water signs in the first place. So everybody can have a go. We welcome ideas and we'll act on them.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Hey, listen, Pam, thank you so much for your time on this Saturday morning. I think the weather's going to turn on us, but enjoy the weekend and say hi to all those lovely visitors for me.
Thanks, and Merry Christmas to the community.
Yeah, and same to you, Pam. Pam Oliver. You're welcome. Pam Oliver from the Forever Waiheke Project, Forever Waiheke.